Hey, this is Alex with the Unbiased Trailblazer podcast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Unbiased Blazers. There's a link in our bio for our Discord server where you can join in on the discussions, give us your takes, give us comments, or simply just join in on a podcast. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review our show. And if you're listening on Spotify, there's a new feature where you can rate our show as well. Now, let's get to the show. Rip City, baby.
3, 2, 1, 0, 0.
Lift off and the clock has started.
What is going on, Rip City? This is episode 40. This is a special episode. I'm really excited. I'm Alex. I got Fawad here with me. How are you doing, Fawad?
I'm good. I'm happy. I'm relaxed. Let's get it on.
We, like I mentioned, this is going to be a special episode here. We have a guest speaker. We have someone to talk with that knows much, much more than I know about college basketball. And I'm going to assume knows more than what Fawad knows because we've talked a little bit and Fawad's kind of in the same boat as me. Once March Madness rolls around, that's when I really start watching, and I know, shame on me, but I figured with me not knowing much and Fawad saying he didn't really know much, I wanted to try to get somebody in here that knew a good amount about a lot of people. So I would like to introduce everybody to Nick. How are you doing, Nick?
I am doing great. Thanks for having me, guys.
We appreciate you joining. I'm ready for you to educate me on all things college basketball and these players that we can expect to look at. First things first, though, do you have a favorite NBA team?
I do. The New Orleans Pelicans.
Oh, the Pelicans. So you're enjoying our boy CJ right now.
I love CJ. He has been a huge boost to the team. And I think sometimes you hear in the national media about players not wanting to be in New Orleans. That could not be farther from the truth with CJ. He's been a huge presence to the team, a top level guard. And I guess on your side, you have Josh Hart.
Yes.
So it's a two-way street there.
We have been enjoying Josh Hart probably just as much as you guys have enjoyed CJ. I truly, we talked about this before. I know we're already getting off topic a little bit, but I felt like that trade was good for both teams. And I think both teams fared pretty well with that trade.
It was definitely win in my eyes.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's really nice to see Hart get the reps that he deserves as a player.
Yeah.
In New Orleans, I think we have too many cooks in the kitchen. So
yeah.
Portland's the perfect place for him.
Yeah. So before we jump into all your analytics on the college basketball players, let me ask you one more quick question. How's your bracket looking? Because mine looks terrible.
Mine looks atrocious. I think I made maybe 8 brackets. One of them had Kansas winning. And besides that, I don't have any points left to get anywhere.
Sounds about right. That was about me too. I think I had Arizona winning, and that ended
poorly.
Fawad, did you do a bracket at all?
No, I was so busy this year. My interviews like went right until like the day before the bracket was due, so I completely forgot about it, and then it's too late after that. So
yeah, I slacked off real bad too on it. So like I said before, you like to watch college basketball, correct, Nick?
I do. I really enjoy college basketball. I think it's a lot of fun to watch, and then of course the NBA draft side as well, getting to think about all these players, thinking about what they'll look like at the next level. I just really enjoy that.
Perfect, because that's what I need right now, because I don't know nothing. Let's go ahead, let's jump in right away. Right as we sit, before I should have pulled this up, it's my fault, yell at me, give me 1 second. As it sits right now, we are still, I believe, the seventh draft spot. There's still a couple more games to go. That could change from 5, 6, 7, 8. I mean, we could be all over the place. So with that being said, let's not worry about who we could pick at what position. Let's just talk about the players themselves, and let's try to get a little bit of a more understanding on these players. So right off the top of your head, if you had the number one pick, who's that player? And, you know, just go into detail on what you like about them.
All right. Well, I'll say I have two guys in my top tier. That's Chet Holmgren and my number one guy, Paolo Banchero. And I have these two guys in a tier of their own. They've both been excellent performers this year. I don't think either of them are going to be a Zion-level prospect, even like a DeAndre Ayton, but they're both really solid players. And something that I like about both of them is that they're very high IQ, right? You think about guys that go from college to the NBA, and a big area that players' prospects fall off is they can't think the game at a high level. Well, that's not the case with either of Paolo or Chet. At Duke, Paolo has been a big reason that they've been so successful, the huge factor in their tournament run. And they have Jeremy Roach, but they haven't really had a true high-level initiator or point guard. So Banchero has taken on a lot of that role for them. He's got a really nice handle. And then also with the passing, he does commit a few turnovers, but on the passing side, he makes the right decisions. He gets the ball in the hands of shooters, including AJ Griffin, who I also have in my top five. And he gets to the rim. He shoots from the mid-range. And he's inconsistent from three, but I think there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, so solely watching just March Madness, all those things you mentioned, I've seen in every single game. And I at first was big on Jabari Smith, and he quickly jumped to my number one choice if I had the number one pick. Not only that, but I think position-wise, he's probably the best fit for our team. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't know how much you know on the Blazers, but to me at least, I think he's probably, if we had the one pick, that would be the guy that fits perfectly if we did take that pick.
I've seen as well. Like I think I agree with that of the guys mocked to go to like the top five, I think he's definitely why he's the best for our team.
Well, I think that reminds me. I wanted to ask you guys that question. Fawad, I know you talked to me a little bit before I came on about what you guys were looking for, and if you could just expand in detail on that, would be very much appreciated.
The short version is basically anyone but a guard. Like, as long as he's not an undersized guard, we'll take him. But we are happy, or at least satisfied, with Nurk as our five. So, like, we are okay if we drafted a five, because we were talking about this last time, but Nurk's basically at the cutoff of what we think is, like, an acceptable starting center for a contender. And so Nurk is, like, at that line. So we're satisfied with him. If there's a center that's projected to be better than him, we're happy to take him on. Since we have Nurk, I think we prefer a forward, a wing, something that we've lacked sorely for the last, you know, the entire Dame era. A 3-4 or even a 4-5 is probably what we're looking at the most, as our strongest need. So I think that's probably what I'd want to use our number one pick on. Although they do say that you should go with the best player available over fit, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, certainly. And I will say this is probably the draft for you guys then. My top 10 doesn't have a single point guard on it. And I think talking to most of the people that I've talked to, they've all been a lot higher on the forwards, the wings, the centers in this class than the guards. So this is a good, it's not a super high level draft in terms of talent, but in terms of positional fit, the guys who are high level talents, a lot of them are wings or forwards.
That's good.
Can I ask you one quick question on Paolo here? That's how you say his name, right? Sure. Paolo?
Paolo Banchero. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Okay. That's what I thought too. I just wanted to make sure. How do you see him defensively in the NBA?
Okay, he's not going to be a great defender. He's 6'11", probably 6'10", barefoot, a solid 250 pounds. And he's really strong, but the flip side of that is he's not very quick.
Gotcha.
Yeah, with that being said, he's very smart, as I mentioned. He's usually in the right position, so he's not going to be a great defender. But if you've got a good defensive team around him, I think he will do well in his limited role.
Yep. The issue is that we do not have a good defensive team to put around him. So
we're trying to make those changes right now.
Yeah, I realized that right as I said it.
So let's move on to the next one, who a lot of people have as the number one draft pick. I'm not as big on him, but honestly, my opinion is grains of salt because, like I said, I don't watch a lot. Chet Holmgren, how do you feel about Chet?
I really love Chet as a prospect. He's not my number one guy, but he's super interesting. If anyone listening to this podcast hasn't had the chance to sit down and watch a Chet Holmgren game, it is it's an experience, to say the least.
Let me ask you this. Do you think obviously the biggest thing that a lot of people have to say is his body type, his size, how tall he is, but how skinny and, you know.
His frame.
Is that going to be an issue, do you think?
Short answer, yes. Long answer, yes. But there are a lot of things that he could do to basically help himself, both short and long term. With his frame, he's really quick at getting off the ground, and I think at the college level, especially in the West Coast Conference, he doesn't have to play as many just high level centers.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, against Mark Williams and Duke, there's no polite way to put this. He got manhandled.
Yeah, and one thing I wanted to bring up is, who did they play in that first? Like, it was like a Georgia team, right?
In the first game of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, of the March Madness. It was like Southwest Georgia or something like that, if I remember right.
Couldn't tell you.
Okay. Well, so I'm watching the game, and I'm watching him play, and I notice, he's this big guy, and I wish I could remember what team it is. So let's just say it's just Southeastern Georgia. Let's just say that. They had one big dude, and he ended up getting injured a little bit before halftime. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, Chet's going to go absolutely psycho because there's not anybody even remotely close to this, to him. And he's just going to go down, post up, and just be unstoppable down low. And the rest of that game, he still pretty much was around the perimeter. And it's like, does he not post up ever? Because that was truly one of the first times I've ever watched him, like specifically watched him. Does he not post up very much?
Not really. Actually, you'll see it against bigs because he's only, 195 pounds. He has a quickness advantage, so he'll break out that weapon against bigger players. Against guards, he doesn't have the strength of other big men, mm-hmm. And he's got high hips, so it's hard for him to basically push smaller guards around.
Gotcha. Makes total sense because he is so tall and so long that, a lot of people say Kevin Durant was like that in college. I think Chet's even taller and even skinnier and crazier body type than Kevin Durant was. I definitely could see him putting on weight and getting bigger, but that's what worries me about him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I said earlier, short answer, yes, he's going to have some issues. Long answer, yes, but the short answer side is basically at the things he's bad at on defense, he's really, really bad at them. Navigating any sort of screen, if a big man gets a shoulder on inside of him, they could basically seal him off and get an open run to the basket. So the things he's bad at, he's really bad at. And my worry with Chet is that college teams usually aren't good enough to take advantage of his weaknesses. Mm-hmm. But if you go to NBA, you've got point guards like Damian Lillard, who are very high IQ basketball players. They can handle the ball on a string, and they'll be able to get their bigs in position to take advantage of Chet's frame. And that's my big weakness with Chet. With that being said, Chet has found ways on defense to sort of hide his weaknesses well.
Yeah.
He does take contact, and he's got long arms, so he'll be pushed back, but he'll still be able to contest, and he doesn't foul too often. He's smart and when he contests. But then again, he's gonna, guards are gonna get the turn on him. He's not particularly fast like Evan Mobley, which is why Evan Mobley at the four works for the Cavs. It's because he's such a agile, 6'11" guy. Chet doesn't really have that, so guards are going to be able to turn the corner. But once they do, Chet is so big that he'll basically be able to contest from behind with his 7 foot five wingspan.
Make up that distance quick.
Exactly.
And he's definitely gifted offensively. Like, I do not doubt that at all. He can score and he can shoot. And I mean, he's definitely offensively gifted.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him at the next level on offense. I think Gonzaga, because they have Timmy down there, they have Nembhard, and they have a really team-oriented system. Mm-hmm. We haven't gotten to see as much of like the ball handling, the shot creation from Chet that I think we would have liked. And I'm really excited to see an NBA team, you know, with smart coaches, with smart players, take advantage of that Chet's skills as a basketball player.
Fawad, do you have anything on Chet that you want to ask or talk about real quick?
I was just going to follow up on what you were talking about with KD. Chet is probably, or he is skinnier and probably taller too than KD was. But I think because there is precedent, not just with KD, but also with Giannis. Like, Giannis was so skinny when he came into the league, and he's like so built now. So it is definitely possible. But yeah, I am a little bit worried short term. I think his first couple of years in the league, depending on the matchup and the team, they could really take advantage of him. I think long term, it's much less of a concern. I think that if talent wise he's the best player, then I don't think that his frame should hold us back from drafting him if we get number one. But then again, I don't know the draft class enough to say whether he is the best talent wise or if it's Paolo. So. So why Nick is here.
So Nick, let me ask you this. You sent us kind of a list of the players that you've kind of felt strongly on, and you have different tiers here. So you have a second tier and you have Jabari Smith as the fourth person, and you actually have AJ Griffin as the third. So a lot of people have Jabari Smith being, you know, top pick or, you know, top 2-3 pick. So why don't you go ahead and explain why you feel AJ Griffin is actually above Jabari Smith?
I was wondering when I was going to get that question, and I don't know if you saw, but I was actually on my computer, sort of changing my big board up, basically until 10 o'clock, 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, because it really is a toss up to me at this point between those two. They're both excellent players. In their own right, they're both elite shooters. I think everyone talks about Jabari Smith being an elite shooter, and they kind of forget about AJ Griffin. AJ Griffin is shooting 46-ish% from three on the season.
Crazy.
On really high volume. Yeah, and then from the mid-range as well, he's well above 40%. And he's got a very nice shot. He gets himself into open positions, which I think is a really underrated aspect of being a good shooter. It's not enough to have a good shot. You have to get yourself in open positions. You know, Steph Curry is the best at that.
Mm-hmm.
And AJ Griffin, he's obviously not Steph Curry, but he does get himself into open positions. And I think if you're the Portland Trail Blazers early on, AJ Griffin is going to find his way onto the floor. Because he'll be able to play off Damian Lillard. He won't need the ball in his hands all the time to be an impact player to score highly efficient buckets. And I really like that about AJ Griffin.
Let me ask you one more question on him, because I think he's like 6'6", 6'7", right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing 6'6".
6'6", okay. So out of the three so far that we've talked about, this is one of the issues that we've kind of brought up in other podcasts and talking just to other people. Do these players seem like players that you could draft for like an immediate impact to affect? Because we're trying to contend now, trying to win a championship now with Dame and his window. Are these players that you could see that could help, or are we better off maybe trying to find a different route where we're trading these picks to get more established players that could help like right now?
Well, that's a really tough question. And I think it's a little unfair to the rookies, because it's very rare that you find a rookie who's a positive impact player. As a Pelicans fan, I think we have Herb Jones this year, and we're very, very fortunate to have him. But he's one of maybe three rookies who you would point at and say they're an above average NBA player right now.
So with that being said, you have Jabari Smith next on your list here. So how do you feel about Jabari Smith?
I've got mixed feelings on Jabari Smith. I think a lot of people have him in a tier with Paolo and with Chet. And I think skills-wise, upside-wise in the NBA, he's a little bit below those two. So he's been pushed down my list accordingly. My big issue with Jabari is he's 6'10". He's an excellent shooter from outside. Once you get inside the arc, he doesn't really have a lot of those guard skills, and he has a pretty slow first step. But you know, part of that is just being 6'10". But he doesn't have a lot of guard skills, so you're not going to see him get to the rim very much at all. I was actually looking at some numbers before this, and Jabari Smith takes about 25% of his twos at the rim, and 75% from mid range.
Yeah,
and that's that. He's really going to struggle, and you know, you can't really be a high level. I guess you can be, but it's hard to be a really high level offensive player in the NBA if you can't generate the most efficient shot in basketball. That's just how it goes.
Is his finishing at least good? Like when he does shoot at the rim, is he efficient there? Does he have trouble?
He's relatively efficient. He's not Keegan Murray. He's not AJ Griffin, who shoots 73% at the rim, albeit on relatively low volume. But he's all right at the rim. The issue is getting there.
And what about his defense? Like, is that something that he can build on? Is he going to be a pretty good, decent defender? It seems like when I've watched him, when he's guarding someone with the ball, he seems to do a pretty good job of keeping that guy either in front of him or at least contesting shots. So I'm curious what you think about that.
I will say Jabari is a pretty good defender. He is just as an athlete, body type. He checks all the boxes if you're an NBA scout.
Gotcha.
6'10". He's got relatively athletic. I don't think he's going to hang with quicker guards all the time. I think he'll probably be all right on switches, but you don't want him being the primary guy guarding a James Harden or a Damian Lillard.
Sure. Continue. Yep. Sorry. Go for it.
No. You go. I feel like I'm talking a lot here.
No, I love it because I'm learning a lot, and I think you know so much more about it than I do, so the more you talk, the better. You brought up Keegan Murray, comparing Jabari Smith and Keegan Murray. I have no idea one thing about Keegan Murray, so I'm really interested to hear. I don't even know who he plays for. Like, that's how much I don't know who he is.
All right. Well, I can answer that for you. He's a 6'8" power forward. Plays for Iowa, of all teams, with his brother Chris, who...
I take it back. I do know who this is. The brothers. Okay.
Yes, brothers.
Gotcha.
And Chris, yes. Chris in his own right. He'll be talked about maybe as a first rounder next year. So they're both very good NBA prospects. But what I like about Keegan Murray is, especially for the Portland Trail Blazers, by the way, is that he's an absolute animal as an athlete. I wish there was a more eloquent way to put it, but that's, you know, he's a creature in transition. He gets to the rim at will. He's 6'8", 225 pounds of just really high level athlete. And I think he's averaged maybe 23.5 points per game in college. I think about 9 rebounds. So he's got that rebounding aspect to maybe play small ball 5. And over 2.5 blocks a game, as a power forward. And
did
I think
you say how tall he was?
6'8".
6'8".
With a pretty big wingspan too. I don't know if it's been measured, but if I were to guess, I would say probably 7'1" on the wingspan. So he's not a full time 5 in terms of size, but certainly if you wanted to go small with him instead of playing, you know, some crappy backup center in the playoffs, I think that would be possible.
Wingspan 6'11".
Wingspan 6'11". Thank you. But yeah, Keegan Murray, getting back to Keegan Murray, because I really do like Keegan Murray. He's not much of a self-creator. His handle is all right, and a lot of his self-creation has come from basically overpowering smaller players with one or two dribbles and just getting the step on them and just dunking on them or finishing at the rim. Which is great, and I think he's a good enough athlete that he'll still be able to do some of that at the NBA level. But some of that's going to go away with just playing better centers, playing bigger wings. But he's a 40% shooter from three, 41%, and he's just got the complete package. I think being next to Damian Lillard would be really, really good for his development. And if you want to win now, guy, Keegan Murray was the best player in college basketball.
So I was really interested.
Oh, go for it.
Him, when I was looking up guys like just a couple of hours ago, all his numbers, like his averages, look really good. You talked about his points, his block numbers, rebounds, everything's really good. So there's a couple different things. First of all, how do you think his defense will translate to the NBA? I know it's hard to judge college defense, but if you have an idea.
Yeah. Well, I think he's a little bit maybe like John Collins in terms of he's a really athletic guy. He's got lots of, he can jump high, he can offer some rim protection, but he's not going to be able to slide down onto like twos and threes. He doesn't have the foot speed, the agility. So there's good and bad, but there's a lot more good than bad. And as I said, he's averaging 2.6 blocks a game. So there's clearly a lot of ability there. He's not a guy who's gonna mess up the scheme as far as basketball IQ, losing his man, all that often. So he's I would say he's a good defender. He's not an elite defender, but he's a good defender.
Okay, and then the other thing I saw was, which you just touched on right there at the end, before I asked the question, was his age is he'll be almost 22 when he's drafted. So that makes me think he'll be more NBA ready than other guys. But then that also concerns me in terms of his ceiling. If he's 22 compared to someone like Chet is like 18, 19. So do you think he has a lower ceiling because of that? Or how high do you think his ceiling is basically?
It's tough to judge. I think with a guy like Keegan, because he's so good in college, you wonder, it's like, is he going to go to the NBA and just instantly be that level of dominant, that dominant force that he is at Iowa? Or, if he's not that dominant force, is he ever going to get better? And I think the answer is somewhere in the middle, leaning towards the first part. He's so big, he's so strong, and he as a player, his motor is really high. He's not afraid of contact. He's got really good touch, 40% from three, and then really good at the rim as well. So I think Keegan is probably better than any player we've seen in college basketball in a couple of seasons, maybe since freshman Zion. But I don't quote me on that. So I'm really excited to see him translate. I don't think he's going to be the best player in the class, but I think there's a very good chance he's the third best player from the class.
And then last little thing related to Keegan. I don't know how much you know about where he's being mocked by other people, but do you think there's a chance that he could slip to near the bottom of the top 10, like maybe like the 9, 10, or even 11, so that if we get the Pels pick, do you think he would still be around for there? Or would he, like, where is he being mocked by most other people?
So he's been moving up in mock drafts a lot. I do not talk to NBA GMs. I wish I did. But from people who do talk to NBA GMs, it sounds like a lot of them are really high on Keegan as a player, which is understandable because he's really good. So he might be one that you have to trade up for or win the lottery, which is entirely possible. Where you guys are at 7, you said, right, Alex?
Yeah, as of right now, we're at 7.
Gotcha. I know you play OKC tonight, so that might.
We're doing a good job of losing right now.
So.
Oh yeah, what's the score?
21 team with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter.
Oh, good job! Good job, Blazers.
before we move on, can I ask you a quick question? Bringing this up, talking about the Blazers doing a good job. Do you have an issue with teams tanking?
I mean, yes and no. I don't think, no one likes to go to a game and just watch their team lose. With that being said, nobody likes going to watch their team be an 8 seed for 8, 9 years in a row.
Fair enough.
I think there's a middle ground where I think you have to be okay developing young players and losing a lot of games because of it, but you can't just tank on end waiting for that one perfect prospect. You have to actually take your young guys and teach them how to win, and that's not going to happen for a while, so you'll be tanking, but that's okay.
Fair enough. Sorry, Fouad, go for it.
I was just going to comment on that as well, actually, but I don't know if you guys saw the injury report for this game, the Blazers and OKC one. There's like 8 guys on each roster. I thought it was hilarious.
Well, speaking of that, we didn't mention, they announced that Simons, Nurk, was Hart in there as well? I think he was.
I think Hart has a chance of coming back, and Bledsoe was the third guy.
Okay. They're all out for the rest of the season. So if anyone was in question back when those injuries first came out with Nurk and Simons about, you know, this probably just being for the tank purposes, I think that kind of confirmed it, that there might be a little bit of injury, but not enough to be out for the rest of the season. It's full on tank mode. We're there.
Any doubt?
Is there any like, are there any like catchy like punchlines for this year? Like, go low for Paolo is the only one I've heard, but it's pretty bad.
I've never heard that.
I heard that one last year after the last draft finished. But yeah, I haven't heard any cool sounding catchphrases.
That's funny. I've never heard that. That's funny. Okay, sorry, Fouad. I went off on it. Go for it.
I can remember we're moving on to the next guy, or
yeah, I thought you were about to.
Yeah. Before we do that, let me ask one last question about the. So you've talked about 5 guys, and you kind of separated them into 2 tiers. So of these guys, who do you think is the best defender? I guess now and long term.
Well, that's a tricky question. I don't think any of them are great defenders. I'd say Chet has probably the most long-term potential, but short-term he's gonna have a lot of trouble with big, strong, athletic bigs. I think short-term, maybe Jabari Smith, maybe Keegan Murray. A lot of that depends on where they get drafted and you know what schemes they're in, because I think Jabari is probably more versatile than Keegan, but I think if Keegan is in the right system where he's almost operating as like a Robert Williams roaming, offering that weak side rim protection, he could do really well in his limited role.
All right, interesting. Okay, so let's move on to the next here, which is where we'll likely be picking if we don't jump to the top 4. You know, the 6 to 10, 6 to 11 guys. So who do you have up next?
Well, the guy I haven't mentioned so far is Jaden Ivey, and I think he'll probably be gone by 6, but he might not be. And I think, you know, a lot of questions have come up with him recently. He was fantastic early in the season. He was shooting the lights out, and then he got to conference play, and he's been shooting 31% from 3 since the start of conference play. He didn't play all that well in the March Madness. I don't know. Did you guys watch their game against St. Peter's?
He's the guy for Purdue, right? If I remember right.
Yes, he's the point guard.
Yep.
I saw the end of the game, but I don't remember how he played. He hit a plus 3. I think I remember that.
Yeah, that's about the only good thing.
He didn't have a good game against St. Peter's.
Yes, and I think something we don't talk about with a lot of these NBA players is we all get, you know, I think we all get hyped up and we all imagine what their ceilings are like. Mm-hmm. And I think for Jaden Ivey, he's got a really high ceiling if that shot's falling, if he just continues to develop as a passer. But on the flip side, the floor is really low for Jaden Ivey. And if you came to me 7 years down the line and you said Jaden Ivey's not in the league anymore, I wouldn't be surprised. Wow. That being said, if you came to me and said he's the best player in this class, also wouldn't be surprised. I think he's a really boom bust player, and depending on, you know, what each team thinks, where they are in their development cycle, they might have him higher or lower because they need that number one guy, or they might be like the Trailblazers and they might have that number one guy already.
Yeah, I'm not too excited about him, mainly because he's a guard. He is 6'4", so he's not undersized, but we just have no need for a guard right now, especially a long-term project. But that said, Blazers and guards go hand in hand, so if we did pick him, I'm sure he would turn out great.
He'd be great.
Yeah, and I will say, Ivy's you know, he's 6'4". He's a really good athlete. I wouldn't, you know, at this point, I think he's definitely the most talented player left if he does somehow drop to 6. So I wouldn't lose sleep over picking a guard, especially someone who can, like Ivy, who can guard 2s, maybe guard some 3s as well.
Interesting. And the next up on your list, I think I saw, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but Ben Mathurin?
Yeah, that's right. Mathurin. He's Canadian, so I don't know. Really? Maybe it's like, oh, yeah, Ben Mathurin. That was a bad Canadian accent. I apologize.
This is the guy I like.
Yeah, he came out of somewhere in Canada 2 years ago.
Montreal,
he was a little bit like Ivy, actually. Both of them came out of high school. They weren't really highly ranked. I think they were both top 100, but they were in the like 75 to 100 range for the high school rankings. And Ben, there's some questions about whether Mathurin would declare last year, but he came back and it's looking like a really good decision for him. He's been that guy for Arizona. He's a great athlete. He's quick. He's got a strong first step. He had a really nice highlight dunk against TCU in the tournament, which I think everyone should watch because it was one of the better dunks I've seen in college basketball. And on top of that, he's, I think, 39% on well over 300 career three-pointers for Arizona.
All right, and
at least for me, to me, maybe not. To me, this was more like if we ended up not trading the Pelicans pick, this is the guy that I would want to go after with the Pelicans pick if he's still there. To me, at least, that's the guy that I would want. I know he's not really like a power forward of sorts, but I think he could definitely play like a small forward for sure. His defense is what worries me the most. From what I've seen, it's kind of it's not there. But
yeah,
I like him a lot, and I'm hoping that if we do decide to not trade that pick, that's the guy we go after.
Well, if we still had the Pelicans pick,
That's true.
I would very much like Mathurin.
And the TCU dunk you're talking about, you're right. If you guys have not seen it, it's a pretty crazy poster. So,
yeah, you know the one I'm talking about.
Yes.
Fawad, have you seen it?
I have not. I will look it up, though, after this.
Yeah, definitely make sure to look it up. And I don't know. I let out like a scream when I first saw it. It was that good.
Yeah, it was a nice one.
Very good. But yeah, he's not really a high level defender. His off ball awareness is kind of it's not awful. You know, he's another guy who's not gonna just break your scheme by being just really bad off ball. There are a couple guys in this draft who are like that, but he's not that. But at the same time, he is gonna give up the occasional like backdoor cut or you know, lose his man. On ball, that athleticism helps a lot. He's only 195, 200 pounds, so he's not quite as big as Ivy, mm-hmm. but he's pretty tall, and that helps as well.
I think you said he was like the go-to scorer for Arizona or something. So he's good. He can create a shot well, or how does he?
Yeah, he can create a shot well, and on top of that, he's also really good with basically his cutting. And so he creates his own shot, but he also knows how to let other guys create a shot, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Does he remind you a little bit of what Josh Hart is right now?
Sort of. I think he's Josh Hart's a lot bigger, and Mathurin doesn't offer the rebounding that Josh Hart does.
That's true. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't know how much of Josh Hart and with the Pelicans you watch, but he was always a really, really good rebounder for us, like something like 7 rebounds a game, which is ludicrous.
He's also a good defender too, though, which doesn't sound like Mathurin is.
Yeah, I meant more offensive wise with ability to cut. He's still a pretty decent shooter. I guess I should have clarified a little bit better on that one.
No worries. I'd say some of it is similar. He's as you said, he's a great cutter. But I think he's got a lot more like vertical pop than Hart does.
Yeah.
Just in terms of being able to go up and get dunks, and Hart's not bad there, but Mathurin's really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is Mathurin's he's a good shooter. Yeah. He's not great. He's not AJ Griffin, but he's as I said, 39% on 300 career 3-pointers. And it's that same thing where he can get open. He can work off ball. Certainly next to Damian Lillard, I think he's a really good fit. Defensively, maybe not, but I guess you sort of hope the defense takes care of itself, and maybe you guys bring in someone at the 3 and 4 who can defend well. But yeah, Mathurin, I do really like him. He's got a lot of good things. He also improved as a playmaker. I think that was a really big issue last year. Is people were talking about him as like a late first rounder. And one of his biggest criticisms was he couldn't pass the ball. Well, he's not great now, but he's maybe, I think he's like 3 assists per game, give or take, especially recently, in February and March.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Yeah, it's not terrible, especially for college.
Yeah.
And he's doing the stuff he has to do. He's not going to be Nikola Jokic picking out the shooter from the parking lot. But he's gonna make the reads he needs to make.
I was actually curious about that myself, because just from you talking about it doesn't seem like any of these guys are particularly great playmakers. I know there's no guards, and usually guards are the playmakers, but do you think any of these wings or bigs are let me frame it differently. Are any of them bad at playmaking? Like, are they ball hogs or anything like that? Any concerns with any of the guys you've mentioned so far?
Well, I think Keegan Murray, he's not going to... I struggle mentioning Keegan, because even him is, like, he's not terrible, but he's gonna miss some passes. But, generally the guys at the top of the draft, they don't get to be at the top of the draft by being just, like, dumb basketball players. Mm-hmm. So no one is all that bad. Everyone here will do what they're supposed to do. I think there are some guys who are better. I think Ivy, he's a willing passer. He commits a lot of turnovers, but I think some of that is just he is like the entire offense for Purdue. So I think Ivy is definitely going to have a chance in the NBA to get a lot of assists. I think maybe Jabari, you're probably not looking at him as a high volume playmaker. Keegan, who I mentioned, AJ Griffin. But as I said, you don't get to the top of the draft by making dumb basketball plays.
Yeah, no, you're spot on there. I don't want to keep you forever. We're starting to get a little close to the hour mark here, so I don't want to keep you forever. One guy though, I do want to talk about before I kind of let you give us a quick little overview of anybody else. Another guy that I kind of liked, and he's actually next on your list, is Jalen. And I think his last name is Duren. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah, Jalen Duren.
Duren, okay.
Duren. Yeah, I've seen it a couple different ways as well.
I like what I've seen from him, so I'm curious to what you have to say about him.
I also really like him. I felt bad putting him as low as I did, so I'm I'm glad you brought him up. He's a little... You watch him... And sometimes he looks like he's going to be like the next Dwight Howard.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
that's
exactly you watch him.
Who I thought of. That's crazy you said that.
And sometimes you watch him and it's just not the next Dwight Howard. It's the next, I don't know, Kevon Looney. So it's interesting. I think him and AJ, and to a lesser extent Jabari, are really all pretty young.
Yeah, he's like 18 or something, right?
Yeah, he's barely 18. He was in the next class down, 2023, and then he moved up a year to get drafted earlier. So, sometimes with these guys who are a little bit younger, they're not quite as good. It's tough comparing like Chet with AJ Griffin or Duren, because
sure.
Chet has more than a year of age on both these guys, I think. So you sort of have to keep that in mind. The other thing is Memphis was I don't want to comment too much on the Memphis situation, but it sounds like they just, you know, they're running around with their hair on fire down there. Penny Hardaway has bitten off more than he can chew as a coach. And they've got this guy, Amani Bates, who I don't know if that's a name that you recognize, but he was sort of supposed to be the next big one. And he came to Memphis this year and he's been really bad. There's a lot of issues with that program, and they don't have a point guard. So part of me thinks that Duren will he'll get through college, he'll declare this year, he'll go probably 8th or 9th or 10th, and then he'll just be, you know, his athletic tools, his like ridiculous wingspan and, you know, strength. Like some NBA team will be really happy because they'll get this guy who's an absolute powerhouse in the paint, and they'll know how to use him, and he'll instantly look like a top 4 or 5 player in the class.
Before I let you kind of go off, if you want to talk about anybody else, I just have to mention Eubanks just had a crazy poster dunk. I looked for 1 second at the TV and I see him dunking all over somebody. I don't know who it was, but my God. But yeah, sorry. Like I said, I don't want to hold you too long. So is there anybody else that you really want to talk about or, you know, want to say something about them? Go for it.
Really quickly. I know we're running a little bit long, so I don't want to go off topic for too long. But so you talked about Bates not being good this year. I remember hearing he would be like that next big guy. So how much is his stock fallen? Is he still like a top 3, top 5 guy, or is it like first round?
I mean, it's tough to say because he's, you know, he's 17 years old or something. And I kind of don't want to hold it against him too much. But if I had a top 5 pick in next year's class, I would not want to be the GM who selects him. Because that's just, it could just, you know, I talk about the floor of NBA prospects, and his floor is just zero.
Yeah, I mean, that is a player that I've heard about too, and that's interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually really excited to see him next year. I think there are definitely flashes there. I think I maybe saw one of the Duren games that also had Bates, and the flashes are certainly there. He's a really high level shooter. But his, if you look at his, Memphis did like their own little combine thing where they did all the measurements and the standing reach and the, you know, the vertical jumps, and Bates scored really poorly in all of that. And it's been clear on the court as well that his athleticism just isn't really there. So you could still be a really good NBA player without being a good athlete, but you know, at a certain point it gets to be too much.
Gotcha.
Really quickly, one other guy I wanted to mention was Johnny Davis. I think sometimes you hear about like the top 3, like the top, you know, the top 4. For me, this class has a drop off after Paolo and Chet, and then it has another drop off after Johnny Davis at 9. And I think if I'm the Trailblazers, I'm really happy with any of those top 9 guys in terms of talent. Davis isn't as good as a fit as maybe as a Jabari Smith or a Keegan Murray, but he's, you know, he actually won Big Ten Player of the Year over Keegan Murray, so he's been a really, really good player this season. He's got a, you know, he's 6'5". He's a pretty solid defender. His jump shot wasn't that great this year, but some of that is that, you know, he's like Wisconsin's entire offense.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the same thing with Jaden Ivey, where you wonder if like the shooting is actually not that good, or if it's just been bad because he's been the focus of the entire defense, for the entire year. So that'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, those are my top 9 guys. I think if I'm the Trailblazers and I come home with one or even two of those guys, depending on how the Pels pick goes, then I'm really happy. I think that's a strong base to build your franchise for the next 5-10 years.
I also just noticed you have someone here listed at number 11, and I don't know who this is, but he's got a very similar name to somebody else, Nikola Jovic. Who is this?
Yes.
Is this his brother, his cousin, his uncle? Who is this?
Well, it's not his uncle, I can tell you that much.
I thought it was.
And Jovic is, he's a, you know, he's not the Denver Nuggets 7'0" reigning MVP. But he's also Serbian. He plays in the Adriatic League like Jokic. And he's a lot on the younger side, but what really stands out to me about the other Nikola is that he's 6'9". He's really, really skilled as a player, so he's got a, you know, really, really strong handle. He can shoot the ball, he can really pass the ball. He's averaging maybe 4 or 5 assists per 36 minutes. Playing in the Adriatic League, and that gets me really excited because I think when you see a guy who's that big and they can pass the ball and they can shoot the ball, you know, your mind starts sort of projecting out like what this player could be. What, you know, but yeah, at the same time, he's got a lot of physical concerns. He's not strong enough to play in the NBA currently. He's got you know, his chest and his legs just aren't really, you know, aren't there to hang with the Kawhi Leonards of the world.
Gotcha.
So it'll be interesting to see how he develops. But in terms of guys who are that skilled, that smart at 6'9", you don't get a lot of them. So
and you said
really,
he's younger. He's not too old.
Yeah, he's younger. He's in that same sort of tier with Jabari, gotcha. AJ, Duran as like the younger group in the class.
Fawad, anything else you want to talk about before we kind of wrap up a little bit?
I was just going to ask you, actually, so based on everything you've heard today, if you had a pick, let's leave out the top two guys, so leave out Paolo and Chet. If you had to pick from that higher tier of AJ, Jabari, and Key, and one from there, and then one from, you know, 6 to 9, who are the two guys you're interested in right now? Let's say our pick jumps to 3, and then Pels stay at 9 or 10.
You're asking me, correct? Yeah. For me, the more he talked about Keegan Murray, the more excited I got about him.
Felt the same way.
So I would probably say Keegan Murray. And then truly, it's a toss-up between Ben and Jalen. So I kind of like how tall Jalen is. He's 6'11", if I remember right, or 6'10", one of those two. So I think I'd probably go with Jalen.
Yeah, I'm exactly on the same page. I was definitely interested in Keegan, and I was between Ben and Jalen for the second one, and I think I'd probably lean towards Jalen as well. So
now, also AJ Griffin does seem like what you were saying, Nick. He does seem like a player that we could use. But hearing you talk about Keegan Murray, I'm like, you kind of sold me on him. I'm ready to draft him right now.
I'm glad. I think all three of us are unanimous in answering Fawad's question, because those are the exact picks that I would make. Keegan, I think I have him 5th or 4th on my board. Depends on the day. But he's such a perfect fit with a win now Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah.
Next year, he's at the right position. He can do a lot of the things that Portland needs. And sort of on the, like, less about winning and more about watching awesome basketball, Keegan and Damian Lillard, you know, Dame tossing up lobs to Keegan is just the stuff of dreams on an NBA court. So from that perspective as well, I think Keegan would be super exciting. I'd love to go see a Portland Trail Blazers game if they got Keegan and just watch the magic happen.
Well, you've sold me on him, so I'm ready for it as well. I know, Nick, you have a website, so if you want to go ahead and talk about your website really quick, let us know what's going on with your website.
Yeah, sure. So I have a website called theloonybin.com that I run with a few of my friends on Discord. And we actually just published an article on the one guy that I didn't get to talk about today, Mark Williams. And I think we published an article on Jabari Smith as well in the last week. So we're churning out content. I think we stopped a little while with everyone being in school and the NBA draft stuff not picking up yet. But now that it's go time on the draft, we're all excited about it. And we're pumping out articles left, right, and center. So, you know, Google us. We're not the comedy club in OKC. We're the second hit on Google.
Link in our Discord.
So there's a loony bin in OKC? Comedy club?
A comedy club in OKC, and they've got us beat out for number one. I know. Or you can follow us on Twitter at DraftTLB.
Perfect. First off, I just want to say a super, super big thank you for joining, spreading your knowledge, helping me, helping Fawad kind of get a better idea of what's going on. Like I said, you've kind of persuaded me on a couple players, so I'm really excited to see what happens and what we end up doing. But once again, thank you for coming and joining and spending some time with us.
And thank you guys so much for having me. I always love talking about something that I'm passionate about, and you guys were great hosts and asked a lot of interesting questions, so I appreciate it.
Fawad, anything you want to say before we wrap up?
Oh, just thanks again for joining us. We really appreciate it.
All right. Yeah, okay, so with that being said, we will be getting this episode out pronto because I am very excited to see what everybody else has to say. Other than that, I think as I look right now, it's almost halftime and we're still losing by a little bit, so let's keep this tank bus going and let's get another loss here and let's move down, however you want to call it, the draft board and get us a better pick. Once again, Nick, thanks for joining. I appreciate it. Everybody check out looneybin.com, correct? Looneybin.com?
TheLooneyBin.com.
Don't forget the la.
The Looney Bin, like the dash Looney dash bin. So.
Yes, gotcha. Thank you for watching.
Gotcha. Check that out. I'm going to go look at that right now as soon as we get out of here. So I appreciate you once again, Nick. Everybody that's listening, have a good night. And as always, Rip City, baby.